30 seconds or less before we get to our pick six. Anthony, fun fact about this song. I decided that for my half marathon playlist, I'm running the Richmond Half Marathon next weekend, which is very exciting. My wife is going to run the Richmond Marathon next weekend. God bless her. 13.1 miles. You're halfway there. Congratulations. Yikes. Yikes. But I'm running the half, and I decided that I was going to put on my playlist the 2022, I think it was, Super Bowl halftime show. The Dr. Dre, Snoop.
Eminem. Was Mary J a part of that?
Mary J.
Oh, 50. Stop. Okay.
It's like 12 minutes long, which at the pace I'm running will be about a little less than a mile and a half. But I can eat a nice chunk of it, and it's high energy. It moves fast, which is important in a running playlist.
Uh-huh.
Just don't get lost in one song. But like, it also is a ton of time. So like, if I do it at the beginning, like I'll be a mile and a half into the race by the time it ends. If I put it at the end, which like Lose Yourself is in that, and like,
need that.
Yeah, like good luck not. You can call it cheesy, corny, whatever you want. Classic, like good luck not running fast to that song. Yeah, it's real good. Real good on a running playlist.
That's smooth, man.
Yeah. So that was running through Rock Creek Park today. I did my last like really hard workout. It's the pukiest I've felt in a training session this entire cycle, which means I'm ready.
You're ready?
I hope so.
I'm about to say, all right.
Well, next week on the show, we'll let people call in with their advice. We did this before my first half marathon. This
yes,
will be
sir.
My second. So this time I've got more of a time goal. So anybody that's an experienced runner, one, if you're hearing this and you just want to give me advice, go ahead. Shoot me an email, hoffmanshow.com. Tweet me, Instagram, DM me at hoffman.sports. Wherever you want to get in contact, I'll take your advice. If it's good, I'll use it. I'm smart enough in the fitness world to know what's good advice and bad advice. But you might have something that's good advice that I haven't thought of yet. That was longer than 30 seconds. Let's do our pick six.
The six biggest Commander storylines.
It is caught!
Delivered at 6 o'clock sharp. It's the Pick Six at 6.
We set out to find a leader, someone who could take this franchise to the next level, build an elite team that consistently competes for championships.
1 is coordinator day in the Pick Six.
Number one.
Let's hear from Joe Witt first, shall we? The Commanders defensive coordinator obviously talked about Marshawn Lattimore. Let you hear about that in a second. But first, let's focus on the actual matchup and what Russell Wilson has brought to the Pittsburgh offense that has really taken off from a scoring standpoint since he's been under center.
He's a guy that plays on time, okay? He can get outside of the pocket. He doesn't run as much as he used to, but he still can create and get the ball where he wants to. Like I talked about, he's very accurate outside the numbers. He understands the run checks and how to if he sees a look that he doesn't like, how to get him into the right run. So he's a smart quarterback. Justin, he's smart as well, very athletic. You know, they probably pull him and run him more like the Giants did with Daniel. You know, you have to really concern yourself with his feet. But it's really a whole offense that Arthur wants to run. You know, they'll run first, play action, just shoot the ball up the field and control it and play to their defense. They have a really good defense.
That is dead ass accurate. Sometimes coordinators are a little cagey. Sometimes they don't really tell you the truth. That is 1,000% what this offense is about. They want to play to their defense. They want to let their defense, they know, or do their thing. They know they're a defense first football team. They want to eat clock. They want to extend possessions. They want to keep their defense fresh because they think they can score on defense. And they've been right a lot. They are going to run the football. They're going to take their shots. It is very play action heavy, which has been a bit of a bugaboo for the Commanders at times. Those linebackers, Bobby Wagner, Frankie Louvu, getting sucked up into the line of scrimmage, leaving a ton of space. But here's the thing I will say where I was curious to hear Joe say that he thinks Russ plays on time. He's definitely masterful in all the run checks and all that, you know, high level quarterbacking stuff that never gets talked about, of just targeting runs correctly, things like that. But I wouldn't necessarily, of the five things that I think Russell Wilson does well, put play on time at the start of the list. Like, yes, his deep shots, when he can see it outside the numbers or see it down the field, he'll get the ball out on time. Sometimes his checkdowns will be on time, which is important because it leaves the back or the tight end or whoever a little more space to run. But like on time, pure progression, middle of the field, or, you know, intermediate throws, he can make them, but he doesn't necessarily see it. Like, it's not the thing I'd put at the top of his strengths list. So interesting to hear Joe say that. Maybe he sees it differently. And if he does, then I'm going to defer to Joe Witt Jr. because he's an NFL defensive coordinator who does this for a living. And I'm a guy who does it for a different kind of living into these here microphones. Obviously, the run game is where the Steelers want to live. They have run the football more than any team per game this year other than the Baltimore Ravens. And they want to smash in between the tackles. So how does Joe make sure his unit is ready for that when that has been a problem at times this year, although one that has improved in recent weeks?
Well, you know, the runs that really have hurt us, I'm not going to say necessarily right in between the tackles. It's been really pull schemes where they're pulling or tossing or cracking and getting the ball on the edge. So what we got to do is play it like we've been playing the screens, okay? You have to set the edge. You have to have a funnel. You have to have inside support, inside pursuit coming. And we have to do a better job of that across the ball. And then you have to put the block in front of you also. And so schematically, we could put more hats in there, which we have. But at sometimes when you have a top receiver on the outside, you know, neighbors, I know he still had 9 catches, I believe, but I think it was like for 59 yards or something. He didn't have the right at the catch. You got to have a hat on a guy like that. So sometimes that lightens the box. And when we do lighten the box, we have to whip a block.
And one of the guys who's been whipping blocks is the person that we're going to talk about next.
Number 2.
Johnny Newton has really come on, and he made some nice subtle adjustments in the game last week. The Commanders were obviously much better after the first quarter against the run. How is Joe Witt seeing Johnny Newton's progression throughout this season?
Yeah, you know, Johnny's just each day, man. He is he's getting better. The explosion is really what you see. The power for a guy that you might not think is as big. He has power. He has knockback. He's a sponge. He listens to everything that Tapp and Sharif and Kerrigan give him. So I think you're just starting to see, and he's really getting his legs back under him into really football shape. So hopefully we can give him a little bit more plays. We like to keep those guys on the pitch count just so they're fresh in the fourth. I've been pleased with where he's going.
I would be too. He's played a lot better. Another guy that's really emerged as of late is Jeremy Chinn. And the leadership that he brings is actually what Joe Witt was asked about when it comes to the Commander starting safety.
Oh, that's a good question. I think he, you know, with him playing for Jason Simmons in Carolina, there, Jason already told me what he was. And I saw that initially early. He's smart. He's quiet. And so I had to get him to be more vocal with the calls because he is so smart, he can help everybody around him. Now what you're seeing is the ability to help the people around him and play fast and make plays himself, which he did in the Giants game. So I've been pleased with what he's doing and the ability to cover the tight end, the ability to, you know, we're going to send him in rush. He's tackling well. And so, but when did I actually see it? It's probably, you know, the last 3 or 4 weeks where he started to really come out vocally and say, hey, this is my secondary and you guys have to, you know, follow me.
Follow they have. Secondary's gotten a whole lot better, and of course they're hoping it's going to get a lot better with the trade that they made.
Number 3.
Joe was asked a lot of questions about Marshon Lattimore today, and I will say, Joe was, I don't want to use the word defensive, but I also don't know what else to say about the guys that he has, and I thought it came off well as defending them and saying, like, hey, these guys are playing hard, they're playing well, whether it's how Lattimore might affect the pass rush, or, you know, obviously he didn't want to give away his cards on whether Mikey will move back to the slot, so he's just like, hey, we'll see when Lattimore gets healthy. But one question that I'm very curious to hear his answer on is about bringing in Lattimore, who has been more of a man press corner in his career in New Orleans. That's where he's been arguably at his best and one of the best in the league, to a team that, while I think the MO for Dan Quinn and Joe Witt is a lot of man coverage, has been playing quite a bit of zone and specifically softer zones in these cover two, too high safety shells?
Well, you know, that's part of what we want to do. You know, we want to be a hands-on, get up and challenge, lower this completion rate. But the difficult thing for him, because he's, 8 years in the league so far, he's played, he's been with a lot of coaches. He's been with Chris Richard. He's been with Aaron Glenn, Joe Woods, great coaches. You know, now he's with Jason Simmons, okay? And so it's really the terminology, learning the different terminology. Scheme is scheme, all right? People play cover three. You got your zone cover three, your three match, all right? Your zoning your pressures or your matching your pressures. It's all the same. It's just the terminology. So that's what he really has to get to. And then some of the just final reduction checks that might be different in each play.
That's the thing that I think is going to be imperative to get as quickly as possible is those checks. Like, all right, hey, we're in man, but are we sticking with our guys? And obviously, I always use the pickup basketball analogy because it's a lot of us have played a lot more pickup basketball, I think, than we have played quarterback in 11-man football with specific man-matching schemes. But, like, on a pick and roll, you got to know whether you're switching, whether you're going under, whether you're going over. So for corners, they got to know, hey, okay, we're sticking with our guy. Who's going under? Who's going over? Who's got the room? What, you know, are you just matching based off of how the routes distribute? All right, it's man to man. We're in a bunch. Do you have number one, number two, number three? Like, there's all different kinds of ways you can do that stuff, and it's got to get communicated quickly because often it happens from motions. You motion into a bunch. Now, how are you gonna play it? This is the kind of stuff that has to happen, and it can often take reps, and especially with Lattimore not practicing, to be able to communicate it quickly because they're not going to have the reps banked by the time he plays, whether it's Sunday, which looks unlikely at this point, or next Thursday, a week from today, when they take on Philadelphia, because they're not going to have any real practice between Friday, tomorrow, and next Thursday. That's going to be a challenge. So we'll see. But long term, definitely a huge upgrade to have him in there. And, you know, Joe, did a good job of defending his guys in a lot of these, the way the questions were asked. But they wouldn't have made the deal if they didn't think that it was a good move and that if they didn't plan on playing him. He's going to be an upgrade to this defense as soon as he gets on the field. The Hoffman Show, we're on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app. And when we get back, you'll hear from Cliff Kingsbury and how he plans to attack a Steelers defense that is one of the best in the NFL. But first, let's get the latest on the world of women's sports, presented by Wawa. Gotta have a Wawa. Joe went down, Cliff Kingsbury to go as we roll on with our pick six here on the Hoffman Show, giving you the biggest storylines of the day, the best sound of the day, every day at 6 o'clock.
Number four.
And Cliff Kingsbury, obviously, let's start with what he thinks of the Pittsburgh Steelers. This is a very, very, very good defense, ranked highly across the board. They're good against the run. They're good against the pass. They have gotten got a couple of times, but where does Cliff Kingsbury see the strengths of where this defense lies?
Yeah, taking the ball away and creating negative plays. You know, they're coverage-wise, very sticky in man coverage when they decide to do that. And then the pass rush, it doesn't leave you much room for error. So you have to be very precise. You have to stay on schedule. And there's going to be some plays that we got to find ways to get the ball out of our hands and not, you know, take negative plays on first and second.
Staying on schedule, obviously huge. So not take any plays or not take negative plays on first and second down. Although Jaden has been really special at figuring out how to get them back on schedule. Also, the turnover piece is enormous. And Cliff was also asked on how his team has been able to eliminate turnovers this year at a literally historic rate, fewer than any team since 1933.
I would just say the individual pride and the collective kind of brotherhood of guys taking it to heart that, hey, when you're carrying the football, you're carrying the entire organization. And those guys, they own it in practice. They own it in the games. And then you have to have some fortunate bounces as well. I mean, everybody knows that.
That is true. They've had a lot of fortunate bounces because it's not like they haven't fumbled this year. They've just fallen on it. But some of that goes back to the brotherhood, if you will. I was chuckling at that line, Anthony. That's a funny line. We need you to understand that the ball is the organization. And when you carry it, you could fumble the entire organization. And Josh Harris will come down from his suite and want to have a word.
I feel like that's something like you would say like in a movie. It's very movie-esque.
Yeah. Your whole livelihood's in that ball, son. Wrapped in leather and lace. Wait, that sounded different. Sorry, we should probably rewrite that line. All right, I'm going to keep it moving as quickly as I can, for I have my bosses come down from their suite and want to have a word. Yeah, they've done a great job. But to wrap up that point before it got very sideways, like, think of the Austin Eckler fumble where OZ's 50 yards down the field. Hey, that the whole organization's 50 yards downfield. I better run with it. And guys have done a good job of hustling and staying on it. And they recovering fumbles requires lucky bounces, but you can get a lot luckier when you're in the right place. And guys have been in the right place a whole lot on that front.
Number five.
TJ Watt is in the right place at the biggest of moments all the time. He's a very, very unique player because, I shouldn't say very, very unique, he's a very, very classic player. He is a guy that in the biggest of moments will pick his spots, maybe down to down. He's not all the way in all the time, or that's what he wants you to think. If he senses an opportunity, he'll go. But he sets up and saves his best rushes, his best moves, the thing he sets up, you know, ram your head into a wall 25 times so that on play 26, when it's third and long and you're backed up in your own end zone, he can get a sack fumble that one of his teammates picks up for a touchdown. That's the kind of player TJ Watt is, and that is the kind of player that can keep a defensive coordinator up at night.
Yeah, when I'm watching tape, when I'm sleeping, all of the above. He's a game wrecker. He's like on that level of certain guys around the league, the Aaron Donalds, you know, I know he's retired, but where it's like, okay, going into that week, we've got to know where he's at on every play. And if we leave one play where he's not accounted for and given extra attention, then that's the play that can change the game. He's that down of a player, and he plays with that type of effort. So, yeah, definitely one that keeps you up.
Yeah, keeps you up at night big time. How does that compare to the rest of the premier pass rushers around the league?
I'm pretty fearful of all those guys, so I they all keep me up at night. So I think we've tried to protect as best we can against some of those guys, but there's a reason they're going to be Hall of Fame players. I mean, they've played a long time. They know how to kind of navigate the chips and the edges and still find a way to get it.
That said, think of the last couple that they've played. Dexter Lawrence, one of the NFL sack leaders, best nose tackle in the game, zero sacks, zero pressures in 19 pass rush attempts against Washington last week. It was the first time all season that he did not have a pressure. Myles Garrett was banged up when they played Cleveland, but he was still on the field, was pretty much a non-factor in that game. They have found ways time and time and time again this season to protect Jaden Daniels, for Jaden Daniels to protect himself, and whether that is play calling, good use of the run, the screen game, or more protection-specific things, chips, they have a plan. And I can't tell you how often I watch teams, I'm just like, they think they're playing just another slapstick team this week? Like, that is Hall of Fame player, blah, blah, blah. Like, you have to have a plan for him. This team doesn't have a plan. Your regular offense ain't going to work. And Cliff always has a plan, and I appreciate that. Next week, the Eagles do not necessarily have one of those guys, but it's going to be a heck of a lot harder to put together a plan.
Number six.
Because it's a short week. This, I presume, will be the last time we hear from Cliff Kingsbury this week, or before not just the game against the Steelers, but the game against the Eagles as well. So this will be the first time Jaden Daniels playing on a short week on Thursday Night Football. For a guy that relies so much on his routine, what kind of test is it for JD5 to get ready after the Steelers game on Sunday?
Yeah, it's a test for everybody. I mean, any of those Thursday games, as far as NFL coaches go, I'd say you kind of just throw your hand. But, yeah, you walk through, you try to have as much carryover and as many things maybe that you've repped and didn't get to, you know, in the game. So you have that back up there. But, yeah, it's never easy. So I don't think being a rookie is that much different. Honestly, it's a new experience every time you get one of those.
I think that's really interesting insight there from Cliff, and he can share it without really helping another opponent, because the whole point is no one will have seen it. So what he said was there's stuff that you rep but don't get to in the game. They go into every game with a certain number of plays up, right? You have the entire playbook. Let's say, just for kicks and giggles, there's 1,000 plays in the playbook, and you go in with 150 for that particular week. And sometimes you got 50 of them that are the same basically every week. Then you change out the other 100. And when we say plays, that could be different route combinations where, hey, this is a great cover two beater. This team plays cover two. It's in this week. Oh, next week, we got a cover three and man team. We're not even going to bother practicing that play this week. It's not going to be up. And sometimes coordinators are still calling. You're expected to know the entire playbook, but it's not one that you've repped during the week. And so what Cliff is saying there is, let's say there's a play that you get to, and sometimes it's combination, sometimes it's specific run, sometimes it's just formationally, hey, we're going to practice this play out of this formation this week because we like the matchups it creates, and then we don't actually get to it in the game. Well, if you don't get to it on Sunday, we just practiced it last week, let's run it on Thursday. That's the kind of stuff that I think is really good, innovative thinking to just try to be as efficient as you can in the process. And of course, they are a team that does a ton of walkthrough work anyway. So will there be any major change to how Cliff installs the offense starting on Monday next week when they get ready for Philly on Thursday?
You just, I mean, me personally, we'll install less, but there's stuff we've had throughout the season that maybe I can go back and find that fits. We repped it, so at least there's a commonality with our players have terminology and execution. They've walked through, they practice it, and we show the clips from previous practices. And to me, that has always been something that makes me feel better. At least they've got some live full-speed reps before you go out there and try to do it.
So, yes, of course, you don't have Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday to practice, but you can use your previous practices. I think that's good. Good coaching, good teaching, a really smart way to approach that from Cliff Kingsbury, who leads the Commanders out on the field on Sunday and then will lead their offense again Thursday night against Philadelphia. Jaden Daniels, of course, trying to just continue what has been the greatest rookie year, arguably, in NFL history for a quarterback. And we'll see what they can do on Sunday. That is our pick six. We do it daily, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and different versions. Sometimes you hear from Dan Quinn and Jaden Daniels. Sometimes you hear from Cliff and Joe Witt. Sometimes we're picking players. That's what we'll do tomorrow at 6 o'clock. Anthony and I will select the six players we think are most important to Commander Steelers on Sunday. When we get back, though, Anthony, are we doing... Darius is going to pop over here. We had some genuine hilarity on the Grant and Danny show today. It looks like Darius is going to record something right now. So Darius was going to be part of Real Things. Now he's really going to be a part of Real Things. Yeah. Which leaves NBA storylines next?
Yeah, we got NBA storylines. We got to make our Thursday night football prediction.
Oh,
man.
That's what we'll do next. It's a really good game.
Four straight weeks.
It's a really good game. We're going to talk about Thursday night football next.